Welcome to Spring the Beacon with Ryan Rieger.
Today we play Lego, and Daddy helps the other guys stay home and play Lego.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Streams of Income radio show. I'm your host, Ryan Rieger. Today I'm chatting with my good friend, Aaron Hughes. Aaron and I have been friends for a few years, and this is actually the first time he's ever been on my show, but he's doing some really cool things. He and his family live in India. He's got an Amazon business, a wallet business, a leather business. They have other things besides wallets, but selling that on Amazon and on selling products on TikTok. And he's actually interested in selling that business. So if there's anybody out there that is interested in buying a very successful private label wallet business, let him know. He's also got a WeWork type of office space. Essentially on the show, he said it right now at that pace for all of his staff. He's got 80 employees and an agency in which he helps people grow their brands on Amazon. He's got a lot of different stuff going on and a new AI tool called List Butler that will help you take your listings on Amazon and move them over to Walmart and eventually places like TikTok and Etsy and all the other major platforms for selling products. But Aaron's an awesome dude. He's got a lot going on. He's an entrepreneur at heart. And it was just fun chatting with him and catching up. You'll love this episode. Here it is. Aaron, welcome to Streams of Income.
Hey, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
We talked many times over the last few years, and this is the first time you've been on my show.
Yeah, I know. It's just a privilege to be here, man. If it's taken me a few years, it's all the more pleasure for me.
Well, we're glad to have you. It's so awesome to thank you for what you are doing. You and your family are living in India and got a cool business over there. But I want to hear about you launched an AI software for list building for Amazon sellers. And you said you have like 7 streams of income.
Yeah, so I kind of come from a family of small business owners. And so I guess I have some of that, you know, innate entrepreneurness in my blood.
Yeah.
And I first started my first business, I think 7 years ago. And I'm, you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, you should be a jack of all trades as a master of none.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm more of a jack of all trades and I'm kind of proud of it. And so I don't necessarily have like one big stream of income. I have 7 different streams.
Wow.
And they're not massive, but you know, they don't take a lot of time. And I can kind of have the freedom and flexibility with my own schedule. But the latest one is that software called ListButler .ai. And it was kind of born out of my e-com experience of, you know, being a one man brand and the pain of like, okay, I'm already on Amazon, but what about it's so scary to think about going to Etsy and going to Walmart when you only are one person and just have to manage that. So our software basically syndicates those listings for you and kind of replicates, you know, the amount of work that like 4 people could do.
Okay, we would definitely want to get into that, but I love hearing people's stories. So just tell me yours, how you got started doing what you're doing and how you launched 7 streams of income. And we'll talk about some of them too.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, for me, like I'm from Arkansas. My wife's also from Arkansas, although we met through India. But I was on a pretty typical trajectory, even in college, of like what a typical Arkansan does when they go to the University of Arkansas. And that is, you know, study business, get a job at Walmart or some vendor for Walmart. And that was pretty much where my life was headed. I was in a fraternity. And I kind of had a come to Jesus moment, if you will, a spiritual experience in college that kind of changed my life and kind of changed the way that I viewed what I value or what I look to do. And so, and at the same time, I was one of the finalists for a Procter & Gamble internship that ended up not working out. And so I kind of had the summer, you know, off to kind of reevaluate and ended up doing a different internship and, you know, came across an opportunity to help a company, you know, build a supply chain out of India who was currently sourcing from China.
Okay.
And I thought, hey, that's a pretty radical move. Like I can go to India for a year and, you know, learn a different culture. Up until that point, I'd been to Mexico one time. That was about it. So I thought that was, you know, a unique idea. My parents weren't super thrilled, but they're like, it's just a year, you know, he's young and dumb and let's let him learn. So I went to India and just got, you know, totally fell in love with the place. I mean, there's definitely pros and cons. There's some things that are very different than home, but fell in love with the culture and the people and really wanted to figure out ways to stay long term. And so that product sourcing job got me involved in the manufacturing world. Then I started a leather company on the side just for kicks and giggles. Then I found out about
Amazon.
Were you
already selling on Amazon when you started the leather company?
No. So that's where it gets good, because every Amazon guru will tell you, like, hey, follow the keywords, all this stuff. I was just starting and realizing, hey, getting people to my random Shopify store is very difficult. So right. Then I found out about Amazon and, you know, keywords. And I started with one wallet, one SKU. I did everything myself. I stickered it. I sent it in, and I basically sold it at cost just to figure out if I could generate sales.
Yeah.
And started to see some success. And so I just grew product by product.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I'd add different colors and things like that. And that okay. started to, so we did $100,000 in sales the first 9 months. And then,
whoa. Okay. So were you, you're in India doing this. Were you shipping them over here doing FBA?
Yeah. So everything was sold in the US. And that was the beauty of it, was like, I could sleep and make money, and sell products without even like needing to be awake. So it's a seven figure brand now. And I still have it. I'm actually in the process of potentially trying to sell it.
Sure.
Because I have too many, you know, too many things going on.
Yeah.
But that was my first brand and my first experience into e-com. And, you know, that led me into starting an agency. We have about 80 employees with our agency and, you know, now our software.
Wow. Okay. Real quick tip. So if you, are interested in talking to the guys that help me sell my business, let me know. They do FBA businesses all day long. I'd be happy to connect you. So just let me know if you want to.
Oh yeah, it's connection. Great. Yeah.
Okay. So you have 80. Okay. There's where so much. Okay. Keep going. So you got 80 employees, and now you're starting the List Butler. What else?
Yeah, I skipped over a few things in there too. There's we have a little bit of real estate. Started during COVID when we were back for a year. I bought a long term rental. That we've owner financed. And I also have an Airbnb that, so our family, we're like nomads, right? So, you know, going back to the States for a month or two is kind of annoying when you have kids and you're trying to like live with family or find a place to rent for, no one wants to rent you a place. So we bought a permanent residence and Airbnb it. And that makes a little bit of money and also building up equity in that.
Yeah.
And then we technically have a co-working space, although the main reason we started that was to get free rent for our agency. So we have about 150 seats, and then we take up 50% and we rent out the other half. And the rental income actually, I think, pretty much exactly covers all of our expenses.
Wow.
And so our agency, now I'll tell you, it took probably close to $100,000 in total to like get to that point of, you know, the office and equipment and months of marketing, but we're at a place now where that's just, you know, every month we're building that up in our reserve. So,
gosh, so you got free rent for your, that's so cool.
Yeah. And it's expensive though. I mean, an office of that size is pretty large, it's like 15,000 total a month, I think, for like rent, electricity, all this stuff. And so, but we have, you know, companies that come in the day, and we have night shift companies that rent out from us. So we get about 15,000 in rental income as well. And I'm a big in-person fan, so it's just hard for me to run a remote agency. So, you know, we just prefer to have all of our people together.
Yeah. Do you go to the office every day?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, wow. I'm out of town. I'm in the States, you know, a month or two a year, but other than that, we're pretty much here. And we're actually building a team in South America as well. And I've got a country manager, so we're going to build an office there. Same concept. I won't be there, obviously, but.
Wow. Okay. Got some questions for you offline on that one. Well,
it's so, in Bolivia.
Okay, all the stuff that you're doing with the 80 employees, are some of those doing the List Butler service for you and running that?
I've got one developer. Uh-huh. Well, it's a little convoluted because there's so much of what we're doing is synergistic. So List Butler is now a tech stack of our agency. So our teams are using List Butler for some clients.
Okay.
But our development team's actually I partnered with a Canadian guy that I know who's the CTO, and his team is in Jordan.
Okay.
So we've got, I think, five developers plus him.
Wow.
And so that team is there.
Okay. So the 80 employees, those working at your co-working space, what are they working on, and who are your clients with that?
Yeah. So we're kind of a traditional e-commerce agency, Amazon agency. So we focus on Amazon, Walmart, and TikTok Shop.
Okay.
And the primary source of revenue are actual US and UK based agencies who build back offices with us. So we basically have flat subscription rates where you could hire a designer, a content writer, or a virtual assistant.
Okay.
But we also do full brand management. So we work with brands and, you know, do everything from their strategy and PPC. Wow. So we've got, you know, 20 something graphic designers. We've got like 10 content writers. We've got a bunch of account managers and team leaders and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. So who are your ideal clients for that? Are they doing a certain amount of revenue? Are they private label sellers? Who do you feel like you serve best in that business?
Yeah. So, we serve e-com brands that are, I mean, ideally doing anywhere from like at minimum, like 500K a year. We work with some really small brands too, because we're a pretty low cost option that, you know, they just couldn't afford a big agency.
Yeah.
And the agencies we work with a really wide variety. So we work with several one person agencies. They're literally just, it's just them. Okay. They've got 5 to 10 brands, and then we are their entire operation. So they run point and strategy and client calls, and we do everything else. Okay. And we also work with really large agencies that have, you know, designers and account managers from the US on their payroll, and we work with their internal teams. So yeah, it's kind of a wide mix.
Okay. Cause I have some buddies that have an agency that they have, I mean, they're very selective on who they work with, but I know they get people that contact them that aren't a fit that may be a fit for you. So I'll make that connection, because that would be a help.
Oh, it'd be great.
Because they want to serve these folks, but they're just trying to stay in their lane and do what they do best.
Right.
And so maybe some of those people that they don't feel like they serve well would be a good fit for you guys.
Oh, for sure. And we have affiliate payouts too for folks. We have some clients that refer folks our way and pay them an affiliate fee.
That's so incredible. How'd you get that started? Like, hey, I'm just going to build up all the 80 employees. I knew you were doing this, but I had no idea you had that many employees and doing all of that stuff. That's incredible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, keep in mind, it's most all of our employees are based in India, right? So it's a little bit different than like a US company with 80 staff here, but yeah, I mean, it's just, it's been 4.5 years now, so we've just, you know, we're bootstrapped. Everything was just reinvested back in the company, and like a big heart of mine is like the idea of social entrepreneurship. So we want to be able to employ people, sometimes people who, you know, don't necessarily have skills to work at a big company, but we teach them Amazon, and then they grow up in the ranks of our company. We have about 5 people right now at least that are in our PPC training program. So they started out as an account manager, they knew nothing about Amazon. We trained them on everything, and now they're trying to learn more complex skills to make more money and that type of stuff.
Okay.
So we're big fans of that. And yeah, I mean, it just happened organically. I mean, we just started to kind of grow. Like, we started with just me and Krishna, my partner, and my friend let me use a few seats in his office for free. Like, we literally had no money in the beginning. Like, it's not like we had a big budget and all this stuff, and we'd have to reinvest money back in new computers and new employees and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely been a process of learning of, and to be honest, I heard an agency owner say this one time, and I thought he was just full of crap. Like, he's like, yeah, the bigger you are, in a lot of ways, the easier the company is to run. Mm-hmm. And I will say that that's probably been true for me in a lot of ways, that it does mean that more things can break at one time, but we have really good team leaders, really good people now. Yeah. Who are doing a lot of this stuff that I used to do everything. I used to write listings myself. I used to, like, you know, just do everything in the Amazon account. And now to be frank, I barely like go in Seller Central much, or at least at a, you know, super minute detail level.
That's incredible. Wow. So how do you go from having the wallet brand to somebody paying you to do their brand for them? Like, what was that first customer acquisition? How'd that happen?
So the very first client we got for services was an agency in Kansas City that I had a connection to. The guy, his name's Andrew Morgan. He's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they were instrumental in us, because they helped teach us a lot of things and were patient with us.
Yeah.
And it was actually through them too that we ended up, you know, figuring out the subscription model.
Okay.
So that was the first client we had, and then we just grew from there. And they're a typical Amazon agency, so they work with a bunch of brands. And then over time, we just, the brands that we manage, we just, a lot of those came organically. We work with a really, really well known in the coffee space, a coffee brand out of Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And we manage all their Amazon presence. And so there's just some brands that we have connections to.
So I feel like this is an opportunity for somebody listening. It's like, they know a little bit about Amazon. Maybe they've had an Amazon account for a few years, but you almost provide, tell me if I'm wrong here, a business in a box option where me is, if I said, you know what, Aaron, I feel like I could get clients, but I don't want to do the work. Maybe I could do the work, but I could essentially just have your team be my team. I could call it, we get the Ryan Rieger Amazon Agency, and I can go out and find Amazon sellers that need these services and tell them, hey, I can do these services for you. They don't have to know. They don't even care. They just know that I'm going to take care of it for them. And I use your team to fulfill it, right? And I just be the front man.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
I mean, it may sound like that's a load of malarkey or whatever, but essentially that is true. Like, if you can get on a call and like talk like, you know, high level about Amazon and strategy and sell clients, the back end delivery can be done through us. We even have white label PPC managers. So we have tiered pricing options for PPC for accounts, which is a really big focus for, you know, most agencies.
Can we talk a little bit? Like, if there's somebody listening, like, you know what, I've had an Amazon account for a while. Maybe I'm tired of selling or just want to go and branch off a little bit. And this sounds cool. I've got a sales background maybe, and getting on the phone or emailing people and getting leads, that's not a problem for me. How much could that, maybe you don't have to tell me necessarily what you guys charge right now. Maybe that's a separate conversation with somebody interested, but what is the typical for me as the front facing person? What could I charge a brand for managing that for them?
Yeah. I mean, prices are pretty expensive, and this is why brands are kind of in a crunch right now, because they have to pay agencies a lot of, like, most US-based agencies, especially if they're a decent sized brand. I mean, I haven't seen an agency out there that's going to charge anything less than like $4,000 or $5,000 a month. Okay. And many agencies will have percentage of sales as a part of the agreement.
Wow.
Now, obviously, there are agencies that we've met that focus on these like small niche brands, and they might charge, you know, a couple $1,000 a month. Mm-hmm. But it's very like low touch point accounts for that type of thing. Because you have to, if you reverse engineer the cost of US labor, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out they're not actually doing much in that account for that amount of money. And with the way that we work is, so you can say, you know, to service five brands, maybe you need one designer, maybe you need a content writer and a VA. So three full-time people is $3,000, with us. So you have a full-time designer, $1,000, content writer, $1,000, VA, $1,000. You may not even need that. That's 3,000. Those three people can service, I would say, at least five brands.
Wow.
So if you do the math, you have a lot of markup in there. And we built actually white label calculators for brands or agencies to figure out, okay, here's my margin if I have this and that. Mm-hmm. PPC is more expensive. We charge per account for that, starting at $750. So, but that's obviously a higher level skill that, you know, labor wise is harder to fulfill. Sure. So,
but I can go turn around and then do $1,500 a month for PPC and make $750. And I don't really do much other than I'm just interfacing with the customer.
Right. Exactly.
Wow. That's awesome. I think there'd be people that are hearing this that are really interested in doing that. If somebody's interested in that, how do they contact you?
I mean, they can just shoot me an email. Aaron at ecommercewallet.co.
ecommercewallet.co.
Yeah. Find me. Yeah, I can put it in the chat box here, but I mean, they could also find me. I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. LinkedIn's one of my favorite places to go to. So Aaron Hughes.
Okay. That's awesome. Very cool. And how many agencies are you doing that with?
Offhand, I think we have about 20 agencies that we work
with.
That's
incredible.
Don't quote me on that, but we have about 55 active clients. And so it's kind of a, you know, not all of those are e-com related, but, yeah.
Okay. Do you feel like, for these, if I was wanting to do this type of service and create an agency, let's say I'm a little bit intimidated about going after bigger brands. Is there still an opportunity to go after small private labels? Like, hey, let's say you know, 5 years ago with your wallet brand, maybe you're not able to spend $4,000 or $5,000 a month to pay me to do it. Is there almost a package that's like, you know, $1,000 to $2,000 that I can sell these folks? Or even could I tell them, you know, it's a percentage of sales, but your team still has to make money no matter what. So I'm just trying, is there a way, can you envision a small package?
Yeah, for sure. And one of the other things to think about, we do Walmart and TikTok, right? So there's a lot of ways to upsell brands who are even Amazon native.
Okay.
But our lowest package, so we get a lot of agencies who start out here, which is the Walla Plus. So basically it's a part-time level. So 4 hours a day, but you get access to designers, content writers, and VAs. So, okay. But it just depends on the needs of the hour, because a small brand might have like 5 SKUs or 10 SKUs. And so, you know, you're not going to, once you finish the design needs, if they need them, you don't need a designer for that brand anymore, unless, mm-hmm. you know, so it's meant to kind of ebb and flow, but that's $700 a month. And that would be like the bare level package. So for 700, I mean, you could upsell one client and still make a little bit of money
on that. Absolutely. Okay. Wow. Just an idea off the top of my head here. Do you think that you would ever, are you looking for more agencies to work with, like smaller agencies? Like, could you imagine like a webinar where we invite people on my list? Hey, come, if you're interested in an agency model, all you have to do is this and this and this. It's almost like a business in a box. Come to this webinar and you're going to teach these brands almost, you know, have it put together like a mini course, how to get clients. From your perspective on this, and it's just, you know, very, maybe it's a free course because you're looking for people to sign on and become agencies that you fulfill for.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. We're always looking to grow and looking for, you know, agencies to partner with, because to be honest, the main reason we do this model, we do have an employee in the States, but, you know, brands want to talk to you no matter what. And so agencies are already talking to the brands. And so they don't really want to get on calls with me all the time, which with my time zone, that means I'm on calls all evening. Okay. So we prefer to have that type of relationship where there's more of an understanding.
Okay.
And one of the cool things about our position is that we get to see behind the hood of a lot of really well-known agencies and how they operate. So our internal SOPs, I'm not going to say like we have the best knowledge out there, but we have really, so a lot of times I'm training agency owners on like some of the best practices and some of the latest software. I can't tell you how many agency owners I've turned on to DataDive, one of the softwares that we use. And they're like, oh, I love DataDive. Thank you so much. So we're able to also, I think, share a lot of knowledge that adds value as opposed to just being some freelancer that you're hiring. It's a lot more than that. And anyone can go find a designer to work with, right? Like, so that's not really unique in and of itself.
Yeah. That's incredible. I always think memberships. I think you have another potential membership here almost, like where somebody can, you have almost have like a group of these agencies that are all together learning. Like if I was a new guy to this, like I have a sales background, for example, and I want to try this out, I might need some support, and you don't necessarily want to be taking one-on-one calls, answering all my questions. But if I was in a group with some other agencies that are small like me, I could be, hey guys, I got this question. I just talked to this client and he asked this and I don't know how to answer it. And then, you know, almost like the Legends group that I had where it was 24/7 support. I'm sorry. I'm just brainstorming with you on a podcast episode, but I feel like that'd be another way to potentially serve people. And it wouldn't need like a lot of your time because you probably have a certain.
No, I love it. It's like, a great idea.
That would come to the top and be like, this guy is the model for how you do this. He started last year and now he's doing, he's got 10 clients now, and he's kind of the main guy that runs this community.
Well, my guy in the States, Andy, he's based in Colorado. He would be the perfect guy to lead something like this too. He's helped companies, consulted with them to help build Amazon teams. Like he's a super smart guy.
Wow. Okay. We'll talk about that offline if you want to, because I feel like there's some people that are listening that would be interested in something like that. Cause it's just another way. Cause I with my multiple streams of income that we talk about, it usually doesn't mean like, okay, you have a wallet brand and then on weekends you're out in the streets of India and you're making food. And then on Monday you go and do this. It like they're somehow intertwined, and you've done a great job of taking your Amazon knowledge and turning it into other things, other ways to serve people. And so that's typically how it happens. And so somebody listening who is an Amazon seller, which there are a lot of them because that's my background, are thinking, gosh, I got all this Amazon knowledge. What could I do with it? This is a perfect opportunity. If you want to learn how to sell to agents, maybe you already know how to make calls and get leads. Well, then this is a perfect situation where you literally have a business in a box. That excites me. So, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And even thinking about the software we offer, that could essentially be a tech stack of the mastermind or the group, yes. Right? It's like, you know, everything we built is very synergistic in terms of, you know,
what it can do. Tell me about List Butler. How does that, so that almost would be something where those agencies could offer, that would be part of what they offer, right? Essentially they're tapping into that.
Yeah. Because so essentially the value of what List Butler is fundamentally is, and again, to be honest, I wasn't familiar with this terminology either. I knew the theory of it, but not that it's called a PIMDAM, a product information management and then data asset management.
Okay.
And a lot of really big brands use different softwares out there for these reasons, because how many times, you know, do you go work for a brand or as an agency work with a brand, and the very first thing you do is have to get access to everything. You have to get folders and spreadsheets. Everything is, you know, just out there randomly in these different places. Mm-hmm. And not to mention when you publish product information, most brands are just copy pasting from one listing marketplace to another. And every marketplace has its own do's and don'ts of SEO and images. And so copy pasting is a really poor strategy. Mm-hmm. And with the world of AI that we live in, it doesn't have to be that way. But the other problem is that most of these, because List Butler is not a revolutionary idea, most of the companies that do similar services are extremely expensive, like Channel Advisor and these others that are, you know, really like 10, 20 grand a year type packages. Mm-hmm. And for smaller brands, I mean, it's just not really an option. So we've basically built a software that has a DIY version and a DFY that has my agency white labeled on top. So a lot of the brands we're working with now are paying the agency to do a lot of the work in List Butler. But essentially what it does is it connects through API connections. And currently we have Amazon and Walmart live.
Okay.
But eventually we'll have, you know, Etsy, the Fair marketplace, Shopify, all these different marketplaces where it'll connect and download your catalog. You essentially pick out a SKU, you edit it. And then from there, you just create templates that automatically the AI prompts build a SEO friendly listing for Walmart. And then it builds it for Amazon. And you can even select custom images, but all your images and your content are stored in List Butler. Okay. So you never have to download a file and upload it somewhere else. It's all there. And then you publish from our app. So you don't have to go into the Seller Central to publish information on List Butler. And then the other really cool thing that it's going to do is allow people to create seasonal draft listings. So for example, if I wanted to have a Christmas specific listing and an evergreen listing, you build these two things in List Butler and you just toggle between them. So when November 1st happens, you click publish on the Christmas one. And then all of a sudden at scale, you could do this where all your listings are now Christmas friendly. As soon as Christmas is over, you just go back in, boom, publish the evergreen. And so before, it's like a logistical nightmare to like think about having to do this across, even if you have 50 SKUs or more.
Yes.
So List Butler is really a tool to really to do that and not have to hire an army of people.
That's awesome. Okay, so a lot of people listening to me are they're retail arbitrage, online arbitrage sellers. They've got lots and lots and lots of SKUs. They're not private label folks primarily. I have some I know that are listening, but what do you think, this is a fit for somebody who knows that their stuff could be on Walmart, but they're not taking advantage of it because it's a nightmare to transfer everything over. Do you feel like it's an online arbitrage type seller or somebody that's selling grocery items that they're buying at Walmart or buying at another place to quickly transfer some listings over to Walmart that they want transferred over?
Yeah. I mean, assuming that you're not just buying one-off pieces, I would definitely say so, because you could create a Walmart listing literally in seconds for a product. Wow. And so it's really easy to be able to do it and connect it. And then long-term, our goal, obviously we have a lot of product roadmap features. One of the features that we're going to build in there is kind of an inventory sync system. So if you only have 10 units and you sell, you know, 9 on Walmart, it's going to sync to Amazon so you don't oversell. So that's our core focus is the actual listing optimization, so the images and the SEO. And so that's what we're building our features for now. But eventually we're going to have those different features as well, because I had the same problems with inventory sync. So that will be a good use case for people doing retail arbitrage as
That's awesome. Okay. Because I have actually never created a Walmart listing, but I've heard it's kind of tough and time consuming and hard. With this, it sounds like it's
cantankerous.
It makes it easy. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, Walmart UI and the ease of use is way behind Amazon. So it is a lot more confusing, and not to mention some of these random marketplaces that, you know, are just not as talked about, you know, in the e-com space.
Wow. Okay. So where, I know you have a special link. I will put this in the show notes, but essentially it's List Butler AI is what it's called. I'll make sure I grab this.
Right. Yeah. Now. We're essentially in like beta 2.0. So
okay.
We're offering early signups probably until the end of April. We'll close this, but we're giving 50% off for the year.
Wow.
And we're also offering like onboarding support for free. So me and my team can help basically get brands. Because the one thing, you got to do a little bit of groundwork to get List Butler set up in terms of like uploading all your assets.
Okay.
So our team also can kind of help get in there and get brands. I was just on a call today with a brand helping them get set up. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's essentially what we're offering.
All right. The same people that I mentioned to you earlier that have the agency that work with bigger sellers, they might be interested in this too. So I'll make sure that they know about that. Guy's name is Jonathan Bricker. Awesome. Awesome dude. Huh. He's in Indianapolis. But he will be somebody, a good connection for you. Wow. I love this. Okay, so think from an Amazon seller perspective, is there any, or I'm sure there's questions I'm not asking that I should be asking. When you talk to Amazon sellers about this tool, what do they ask you? What questions do they typically have? Is there any detailed, because I haven't been selling on Amazon for a little while. I might not think about all the things that an Amazon seller that's in the trenches would ask.
Yeah, I mean, so really our tool comes down to the fact of, do you want to be on multiple marketplaces or not? And a lot of Amazon sellers just don't see the value of it. Mm-hmm. And so if you're only selling on Amazon, our tool is probably not going to add a ton of value. There are going to be some features we will have in terms of building images that are useful.
Okay.
Think about like Canva. So we're going to have templates of like infographics and A+ content that you can build in our app. So that would be useful for just an Amazon seller.
Yeah.
But if you're going to be on different marketplaces, the tool would be super useful for brands, because the reality is they've all taken Amazon courses, but they don't know really anything about Walmart or Etsy or how to do it. And so we actually have a AI chatbot co-pilot. Our butler, his name is Winston, you know?
Okay.
And so you can ask it, we have a knowledge base trained on it. And so you can ask it any question about Walmart or Etsy. And so as you're learning or posting on Walmart, you can say, hey, you know, Winston, what is, you know, the SEO requirements for Walmart or Etsy? And, you know, basically get all that information at your fingertips without having to do a lot of outside research or, you know, or Googling.
That's beautiful. So if I remember before it was a little bit difficult to get a Walmart account. What's it like now? If I was an Amazon seller only and I wanted to move over to Walmart and add my stuff there, is it still easy or still hard to get an account there?
I it's a lot easier from when it used to be, but it does take, I think, a few days to hear back.
Okay.
TikTok Shop is another marketplace that I think everyone needs to be on. TikTok Shop is blowing up.
Okay.
And that's a little, like, it's easy to get an account, but I will say very often when you submit the documents, it'll tell you the documents are wrong and they're not. And so you just do it multiple times and you'll get accepted. Yeah. So Walmart and TikTok are, I would say, pretty easy to get accepted. Like places like Target.com are much more difficult to get onboarded. Mm.
Tell me about TikTok Shop. We've never even talked about it on this podcast before. Who's a fit for that? Is that mainly a private label seller, or can you have multiple SKUs with bunches of brands?
You can have multiple SKUs. We work with an agency who essentially it has like sole distribution rights for e-com for a bunch of brands. And so their store has like all these random brands in it.
Got it.
But to give you an idea, so I've been selling on Amazon for, you know, 7 years, roughly. We do on average annually, like last year, we did basically $1 million. So 83,000 a month. On TikTok, my first full month, we did $10,000 in right under $10,000 in sales. And it was all user generated content focused. So I had no ad spend. Okay. I paid a 10% affiliate fee, and it was like I think it comes out to like a 5% TikTok fee, and that was it.
Okay.
Now, wow. I'll say that TikTok is very volatile. You know, the video eventually loses its viral. I had one video go kind of viral, and it was a really dumb video. There is no reason why it didn't even show my product. It was honestly didn't make any sense.
Uh-huh.
But for the next 3 days, I was selling 30 units a day of a wallet that I sold maybe one unit a day on Amazon.
My gosh.
And even when it sold out and I was out of stock for a month, and when I sold, put it back in, it still was selling more than any of my other SKUs.
Wow.
So it's just, you know, TikTok's been around a lot longer than TikTok Shop. So TikTok Shop is essentially you're building, you know, kind of an Amazon store at TikTok. You're tagging products, and then users can get, and all you're having to do typically is send them a free sample.
Okay.
They post about it, they tag it to their store. So when their followers buy it, they are attributed that percentage of that product sale.
Awesome. How are those folks finding you that they're doing the content, or how are you finding them?
So there's a few different methodologies we do. And some of them are honestly pretty simple. So the beauty of TikTok Shop, we're not doing a ton of paid advertising. A lot of what we're doing is guerrilla warfare, just messaging creators. So I've got a Blue Lives Matter wallet, or the Blue Line Police Flag wallet, right? So it's like gifts for police officers.
Yeah.
So all I do is go to TikTok, and there's a creator central platform. So you can like filter and find creators, but I also just go on TikTok and type in police, and I just, you know, try to find videos where creators are like posting police friendly like videos or jokes about police and message them to post about it, because I know that their audience is going to want to see that. So there's a few different ways, but those are some of the ways that typically before TikTok Shop, every influencer that I know of that had a decent following on these different platforms would ask for like a minimum of like $500 up front. On TikTok, you're not paying, like, I've never had anyone ask me for money up front. I'm just giving them a sample. They make a video because they're getting their money on the sales.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is so cool.
Now, obviously, there's legislation right now to like ban TikTok, but I don't see any way that an outright ban happens. I think the worst case is it's divested from China, which I hope would happen anyway. But on a side note, I hate most social media. I'm not even really on TikTok, you know, but it helps me sell other products. So.
Yeah, it's there, and you're leveraging it right now to sell your product, which is so cool. Oh my goodness. I bet there's probably already services out there that help people get set up on TikTok Shop, aren't there?
Yeah, you'd be surprised how many LinkedIn profiles say that they're a TikTok Shop expert now, and I'm like, this thing's been out for like 8 months maybe. Like, so this same thing happened with AI. Everyone's like, I'm an AI expert, and they like just found out about it a few months ago. So yeah, it's, you know,
that's wild. Aaron, this is awesome. What else, anything else you want to share that we didn't talk about, or anything about List Butler? I'll put the link in the show notes for people to get the 50% discount. Anything else in your heart?
No, I mean, I'll just say the one thing, if someone who's listened to me, I mean, probably thinks I'm borderline psychotic with everything I'm doing. And I would say I'm ADHD, so I'm a little wired that way, where the average person may not be. But even I have come to a point where I have started so many things and realized, oh my gosh, how can I possibly do any of these well? So I'm in the process now of even selling some things off, like we're selling, trying to sell the leather business and trying to pocket some. I've built over the last 8 years, all I've been doing is putting my head down and building. Mm-hmm. And now I'm finally at the point where, you know, hey, we owner financed a rental house. We don't have to worry about that. In theory, we're going to try to sell off one of the brands and kind of enter into a season of refining. And, you know, I really want to focus on the software and give it the time that it needs to try to be successful. So,
awesome.
That'd be one encouragement is like, I think it's been good for me to have these different experiences and to build things, because I've learned so much along the way. But maybe I'm 32 now, so, you know, I'm maybe entering that season of life where I'm like, okay, I need to pick a few things and, like, you know, focus on them.
Yeah, I love it. Well, you've been very successful. I love your story. And you're welcome back anytime. I know it's taken so long to get you on here, but you let me know whenever you want to come back on. you know, I'm sure you're an entrepreneur like me. So in a couple of years, you'll have something new that you're working on that you'll want to tell people about. So just let me know.
Absolutely. And I just appreciate you, Ryan. You've always been a mentor and friend to me. So I appreciate you giving me the chance.
My privilege, man. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Bye-bye, everyone. See you next week.